excited to minister to you, and I'm believing that God is going to bring some breakthrough in your life, in my life, in Jesus' name. Who's believing God can break through into your situation, into your family, into your circumstance? And tonight I want to preach to you on that. So maybe you need a breakthrough in an area of your life, maybe in your family. You're thinking about your family right now. Maybe it's your health or your finances or relationships or maybe healing that you need a breakthrough in. And we serve a God that can bring breakthrough. I want to read you a verse in 1 Chronicles. If you don't know where 1 Chronicles is, it's just before 2 Chronicles. So I'm just, there you go, preacher's joke. 1 Chronicles 14, verse 11. I'm just here to help. That's what I do. It says this. It says, so David and his men went up to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand. So that place was called Baal Perazim. I'm going to read it again. So David and his men went up to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand. So that place was called Baal Perazim. If you don't know what that means Lord of the breakthrough, or the Lord that breaks through. See, Baal means Lord, and Perazim means breakthrough, Lord of the breakthrough. He can break through into any situation, any circumstance. He has a way of coming through at just the right time. Who knows that God doesn't work on your time, but on His time? Oh man, there's so many times where I'm thinking, God, come on, what about right now would be great. Oh, I just had faith and I came to the altar and I just need right this second. And God does it in His timing. But He can bring a breakthrough, and He knows what's going on in your life, in your family, in your church right now. In Australia, we have a special day, as many of you would know, called Boxing Day. And there's only three things you can do on Boxing Day. The first one, have a guess what it is. Anyone know what you can do on Boxing Day? Yell it out. Eat leftovers, cricket, any others? I think you've answered them all. The first thing you can do, I was going to say, if you live in Melbourne, you can go and watch the Boxing Day test. And other people, it's like, that sounds like a horrible idea. Cricket is the worst thing ever. But others like me, you like it. Or you can watch it if you're in any other place. You can watch the cricket. The second thing you can do is you can go shopping, which just sounds like torture to me. But does anyone love that? Yes? Yeah, a few nervous hands going up. You can go shopping. The other thing you can do, and we probably did it more back in the day, is you can go to the movies. You can go to the movies. Do you remember when like big blockbusters were released on Boxing Day? And it was like you waited for the whole year for that day. It's like, oh, I can't believe this movie's coming out on Boxing Day. And I remember going to the movies when Lord of the Rings. Man, you guys shouted more for Lord of the Rings than Jesus before. You're like, yes, I like the passion. Lord of the Rings. I remember going to Lord. Do you remember when movies went for 3.5 hours? Yeah, but quite a few bit. You remember? And the intro just kept going. And it's just like half an hour of intro to movies. So we used to go wrong direction. It seemed like evil was going to triumph. Remember? It seemed like evil was going to triumph right to the very end. And then they got rid of this thing called the ring, the source of power. And then it seemed like just at the right time, everything got better. Just at the right time. I thought maybe this was just surely for editing purposes. They've just kind of thrown this in. This is how they had to put it together. But the truth is, the author got a lot of backlash for this. The guy was named Tolkien, as you know. And he actually received a lot of criticism because people said, that's not true. Life's not really like that. You can't have everything go bad for a long time and then suddenly it just turns around. That's not how it actually works. And he said, okay, well, I'm going to create a new literary phrase. They said, what do you mean? He said, I'm going to call it a U catastrophe. A U catastrophe. People said, what does that mean? He said, well, you know what a catastrophe is, don't you? When something horrible happens, seems like everything's going okay, and then you have a car accident or something goes wrong, and it's a catastrophe. Well, he said, think of that, but just in the exact opposite kind of way. That's a U catastrophe. Things can be going south. Things can be difficult. Things can be hard. And then all of the sudden, something turns around. Did you know as a Christian, that's what your life can be like? That a God of the breakthrough can suddenly break through in your situation. The God of the breakthrough in a moment of time can turn a situation around which you thought was dead in the water, which you thought there was never going to be a chance that it could turn around. But guess what? When God is in the picture, suddenlies can take place. Suddenlies can come into your life and God can turn the situation around. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is this, is what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for good. Even situations in your life and mine, when we look at them and we think, that's not good. I can't make that look any better than it is. It's just not good. But the truth is, God could even turn that around for good in your life. He can turn any situation around. If you don't believe me, what about blind Bartimaeus, who was blind from birth? And then had one encounter with Jesus, and suddenly he received his sight. If you don't believe me, you can read scripture where the woman with the issue of blood had an issue for 12 years. She suffered from the same condition, and she had one encounter with Jesus, and guess what? Everything turned around. Everything changed. It seemed like it would never happen, but God managed to turn that situation around. I got to tell you that we serve a God of the breakthrough. He's a God that's involved. He's a God that steps into your situation. He doesn't stand far off, but he comes into your situation. You can have things going south or going in the wrong direction, or maybe you feel like even tonight you're in a bit of a wilderness situation where you're like, God, are you even going to speak to me about this? Are you going to give me some direction here? Are you going to give me some clarity about this area of my life? And it seems like God isn't answering you or he's not speaking. I believe that God can suddenly turn your situation around in Jesus' name. If you believe that, why don't you say amen? Notice in this verse, it says that God has broken through my enemies. Here it is, three words. I want you to remember these three words. By my hand. God has broken through my enemies. Here it is. By my hand. God has given me a breakthrough by something that I have done or something that I have contributed to doing. See, sometimes we think, I'm just going to sit here and God, you better figure it out. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? I'm kind of sulking in the corner. I'm like, God never listens to me. God, oh, he's always answering their prayers. Yeah, that'd be right. And I'm sulking over here. But the truth is, God breaks through your enemies and my situations by my hand. There's something in the Bible called co-laboring, where God says, Jesse, I know you're dysfunctional. I know you have lots of problems, but I'm going to still work with you. And we're going to do this together and we're going to see a breakthrough together. That God is going to bring a breakthrough by something that's in my hands. Did you know as a Christian, you are never powerless. You are never powerless. There's always something that you and I can do to contribute to what God's doing on the earth. There's always something in our hands that we're able to do, that there's potential with what's in our hands to receive a breakthrough. I'm going to give you three things tonight. If you need a breakthrough in your life right now, or maybe one day, you got to remember these three things. These are three habits to remember for breakthrough, and they're all found in Matthew chapter 6. I think I've preached on Matthew chapter 6 probably more than almost any other chapter in the Bible, and it's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew, between Matthew 5 and Matthew 7, we see these verses right here, and this whole passage of scripture is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is telling his people, his disciples, three habits because he wants them to practice them in private. See, the Pharisees did this. They listened to them, but they wanted to practice them in public for public reward. Do you remember? But Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going to tell you these things to practice them in private and you will be rewarded. Matthew 6, verse 6, it says this, but you, when you pray. Can everyone say when you pray? When you pray. It doesn't say if you pray. It says when you pray, which means if you know Jesus, you pray. Oh no, but my wife prays for me. No, 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 no deal. When you pray, oh no, but my life group leaders, they're amazing prayer. Like they're unbelievable. You should hear them pray. I just go, could you pray? No, no, no. When you pray, the shy person that's like, never give me a microphone. You don't need to pray on the microphone, but you need to pray because you're a disciple. You're someone that follows Jesus. When you pray, not if you pray. When you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, sometimes we need to shut a door. We need to shut a door of distraction. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. God rewards his people. Sometimes we don't think God wants to reward us. It's right there in Scripture. He will reward you if you seek him. So the first thing that's in your hand, if you want to see a breakthrough, here it is, prayer. If you want, you are never hopeless. You never have to just sit back, but you can start to pray. You can gather some friends. You can come on a Friday night and go, you know what? I've never gone to that. I'm going to come and start praying. I'm going to start praying with the church and believing for a breakthrough. See, the private discipline of prayer will produce a public result. It's funny when you start praying, coincidences start happening. You're like, the second I started praying, things began to change in my work, with my family. Things started to, because you started to pray. See, God can break through with something that's in your hand. Something that's in your hand. You can begin to pray from tonight. Question here for you. Has anyone here ever received a breakthrough because you've prayed? Put your hand up nice and high and proud. Look at all the hands. You've received a breakthrough because you've prayed. You've needed a miracle. You've needed something. And then you've picked up the weapon of prayer and you began to pray and God broke through. But the truth is, sometimes we can get a breakthrough from prayer that's unexpected. Anyone had one of those? Where you just didn't even see it coming and God broke through. I want to show you a verse that I believe will give you some freedom and some breakthrough and maybe a weight off your shoulders. It says this in Hebrews 11, verse 6, the second part. It says that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek. You know when I want to be diligent, like I love sport, I love running, I love exercise. I'll do crazy things for sport or exercise. Does anyone else kind of know what I mean? Like that when you're passionate about something, you'll do things that other people like, you are crazy. I did the Canberra half marathon a few weeks ago and people are like, you have rocks in your head. Why would you just start running in that direction and then just keep going? Like you don't even run for any reason and you didn't even do a full one. You only did a half one. Like, what's wrong with you? But you know what I did? Before work, I'd be getting up at 4:30. Training for it. Diligent. But sometimes when it comes to my prayer life, I'm like, oh, snooze. A few nervous laughs. Snooze. Oh, man, I don't want to do that. But it says here, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not occasionally, not just when it's summer. But any time of year, I'm going to be someone that seeks the Lord, not occasionally, but diligently. And he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I love this verse. And you know, the main reason I love this verse is because the verse says that you can be rewarded for just seeking. You don't even have to find him.
You don't even have to find him.
Have you ever had a prayer time on your own? Like tomorrow morning, you're like, man, that message really, that's it. I'm getting up tomorrow, Monday morning, that's it. Alarm set, I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to get up, it's dark, no one's ready. And you pray, feels like you've been there for an hour. You look at your watch, it's like 1 minute. You're like, geez, oh my gosh, I'm going to, dear Lord Jesus, come on. And you look at your watch, it's like 5 minutes. I'm barely a Christian. Has anyone else ever felt like that? That's me. I've done that many times. Thank you, one honest person in church on a Sunday. And I'm just praying and I'm like, I didn't even, like, did God even show up? Like, I turned up. I didn't feel anything, no presence. I didn't get a sermon, no revelation, nothing. It felt like nothing happened. But did you know what? Just for the fact that I positioned myself there, God will reward me. I don't have to find God. It's not like I have to receive something every single second of the day, but I'm positioning myself. I'm putting myself in a position where God is looking for his children. He wants to reward those who seek him. Just by having that habit, God will bless you. He will reward your life. You can have breakthroughs when you expect it, but you can have breakthroughs when you don't expect it. And Jesus said we should pray in a way and be persistent. Don't just pray once and give up. And he says in Luke chapter 18, the story of a widow who wants to get justice from an unjust judge. And there was a widow in a town, and she goes to the unjust judge, his house at night, and knocks on the door and says, he opens the door. I can imagine he'd be opening the door at 2 a.m. going, what is going on? Who's knocking on my door? And she knocks on the door and says, I want justice. And if he was a normal person, which he seemed like it, he said, could you please come back in the morning? This is an ungodly hour. Get out of here and come. And she keeps knocking on the door wanting justice. She keeps knocking and believing for justice. And eventually, because he was sick and tired of her, he says, okay, I'm going to give you justice. Just get out of here. And you know, our prayer life needs to be a prayer life where we don't pray for something and we give up on the first go. We need to be persistent in our prayer. We need to keep coming back to God. We need to keep persisting in our prayer and saying, God, I'm believing for you in this area of my life. But you know, the best part of that passage of scripture is this, is the truth of that parable is that God isn't like an unjust judge. The truth is, God wants to intervene in your life. He's not going to stand off and not want to step into your situation. That's not the character of God. God won't leave you hanging. He wants to be in the middle of your situation with you. He's going to be a God that intervenes in your situation. You know, I think we can learn a lot from our kids about persistence. I remember one night I was lying in bed and I felt this strange presence come into my room. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It wasn't an evil spirit. It was, you know how it's pitch black and you can just sense something? Is anyone? That was a bit like this, and I was like, what on earth? And then as I felt it coming closer, I said, is that you, Ruby? It was my daughter. And my daughter came up, and you know, kids give you no personal space. My daughter is literally like this close to my face. I'm like, seriously, I can smell what you just had for dinner a few hours ago. She was right there. And this is all I heard. Daddy, can I have a juice? It's like, I'm looking at the time going, what on earth are you doing? Go back to bed and I'll get you a drink in the morning. Daddy, can I have a drink? I said, Ruby, you know, parent, anyone a parent here, you put the, you up the level, you know, you're like, I'm getting serious. You're going to get in big trouble. And I said, Ruby, go back to your room. Ruby's pretty stubborn. Dad, can I have a drink? And after about the fifth time, I said, all right, I'm going to get you a drink. That's it. I'm going to the fridge. And I gave her what she asked because she wouldn't give up. Did you know that in our prayer life, I wonder if God wants us to nag him just a little bit more? You think you're going to annoy God like he's got too much going on, but the truth is he wants you to pursue him. He wants you to keep knocking. He wants you to keep asking. He wants you to keep believing that he's going to break through in your situation, and you got to persist in your prayer. The first thing is prayer. The second thing, if you want to break through, something that's in your hand is fasting. And you're like, oh no, please don't talk about fasting. The truth is, it says in this verse, it says in Matthew 6:17-18, it says, but you, when you fast, again, if you follow Jesus, it doesn't mean you have to fast every week. You don't have to be like that, but it says that at certain times in your Christian life, God's going to speak to you about fasting. And maybe it's not even when the whole church is fasting, but maybe it's just God whispers something to you tonight and you feel like, you know what? I want to draw closer to God. It says, but you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I love this bit. Wash your face. Have you known people that fast and they want everyone to know they're fasting? It's like they come in and they're dragging their feet, their hair's everywhere. It's like, oh my gosh, what happened to you? I'm just so spiritual. What were you doing this week? Probably eating and feasting, and I'm fasting. What a spiritual beast I am. No, don't do that. Wash your face. Wear some deodorant. Do your hair. Put an ironed shirt on. Come to church like normal. Don't tell everyone that you're fasting. Don't tell everyone that you're an amazing prayer. Do it privately, and you watch the rewards that God brings into your life, into your family, into your church, when you have a discipline of prayer. Discipline of fasting. It's something that's in your hand. As a Christian, you're never powerless. You're never in a place where you think, you know what? There's nothing I can do. The truth is, there's something you can do. Even tonight, you can say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to decide that, you know, maybe it's not right now, but maybe it's in the future. God is going to begin to speak to me, or I feel prompted to fast, that I want to hunger for God. I feel like my walk with God is just a little bit kind of, yeah, I just roll in and kind of go to church and then leave. But I want a fire as we sung. I want God to set a fire in my soul that won't be just burned out, but it will keep ablaze. If you want to do that, I want to encourage you, turn up the dial on prayer. Turn up the dial on fasting in your life. Turn up the dial on spiritual practices, not out of religion, not because you feel obliged, like I have to do these things, but because I want to be spiritually on fire for Jesus. I want my walk with him to be on fire in Jesus' name. If I can have the worship team come up, I want to give you the last principle that Jesus talks about. He says in Matthew 6:3-4, I've left the best till last. You're going to be like, oh no. It says this, but when you do a charitable deed, here it is, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So has God given you a breakthrough in prayer? I saw lots of hands go up. I've seen lots of hands, and I'm sure if I went around and talked to people, people would say, because of fasting. You know what? I fasted once, and it was like my spiritual senses. I got to hear the voice of God a bit clearer. I got to, I felt like a decision was coming up, and as I fasted, I saw a breakthrough because I fasted. The third thing that Jesus talks about that you and I can do that's in our hands is this, and he puts it right alongside prayer and fasting. Sometimes I think, prayer, man, that's spiritual. If I could pray more, I'd be rock solid. If I fasted more, I'd be elite forces. But then giving, oh, whoa, whoa, wait up. That could just, no, no, the truth is, in my life, many times when I've seen a breakthrough, I can tell you testimony after testimony, is when I sowed a seed of generosity. It seemed like something was unlocked. Why? Because so much of my giving is attached to my heart. And oftentimes I could dedicate a couple minutes to prayer, shoot up a prayer to the big guy upstairs. Yeah, I'll skip brekkie, I don't even eat it anyway. But give? That hits home. But it says here, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's giving. So when you give in the offering, you don't have to do that. You don't have to tell people what you gave to missions. Do it in secret. Do it in secret. You watch the rewards of your generosity, the generosity that you have towards God, His house, will bring breakthroughs in your life. Do you remember Solomon in the Bible? Last thing I'm going to tell you before I pray. 2 Chronicles 1 verse 7, it says, on that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? Hold on a sec. So God turns up to Jesse's room tonight. Pitch black, God turns up. Jesse, what do you want? Anything, and I'll give it to you. Lamborghinis, house on the water. Like I'd be going through, you know, I got a list in my phone. Just like as long as I got a list of stuff. That's a good night. Where God comes to him in the middle of the night. I've read that before and thought, that's so unfair. God's never done that to me. He's never turned up and said, Jesse, whatever you want, mate, it's yours. He's never said it, but he said it to Solomon. And Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge. He didn't ask for a Lamborghini. Wisdom and knowledge. And God gave him wisdom, knowledge, honor. Here's the kicker. And untold riches. Crazy. He gives it everything. And it says, on that night, by saying that night, it makes me think that there must have been something that happened in the day for this scripture to say, on that night. If it had said one night, it just would have meant that God sovereignly decided to bless that person. But it said on that night, there must have been something that took place. And in the previous verse on the screen, it says, and Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting. Here it is. And offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. So Solomon brings a sacrifice, an offering. He brings 1,000 burnt offerings, bulls as an offering. This wasn't for sin. This was a generosity, an act of generosity. And just by chance, because he had done that in the day, that night, God comes to him. When you give, something can be unlocked supernaturally. And so many times, God has challenged my wife and I remember being in a meeting just like this, and we had so little money that we would eat baked beans on toast. We were paying to go to Bible college. We had hardly any money. And God said to me in a meeting just like this, in the offering, give $1,000. I said, that's the devil. That's the devil. No, 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 no. And God spoke to me again. No one else heard it. No one else saw it. God said, give $1,000. And you know what? The release of that from my hand, the sowing of that seed unlocked a breakthrough in my life. God can provide your needs. God can provide your healing. God can provide the provision that you need, but you need to trust Him for the breakthrough. And God will put things in your hand. You can pray. You can fast. And you can give to see God perform a breakthrough in your life. I want to encourage you today. If you want to see a breakthrough in your life, God can intervene. But oftentimes, I think when I'm waiting on God, sometimes God goes, Jesse, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to take a step of faith. I'm waiting on you to step out and do that. I'm waiting on you to be generous. I'm waiting on you to pray. I'm waiting on you. Maybe you draw close and I will draw close to you. God can be waiting on me. Hey, I want to pray for you in a few minutes about areas of breakthrough in each of your lives. But before that, I want to pray, bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to spend some time praying together and worshiping together in just a moment. But before we get to that moment, I wonder if there's people in this room tonight, and as we've worshiped, as Amanda and the team has sung, as you've heard the message in the time of prayer, that God's been speaking to you about your own heart and your own life. And maybe in this environment, in this room tonight, you need to say yes to God. You don't even know fully what's going on, but you know, you want to take a step towards God and say, God, if you're real, I want to know you. I want you to come into my life, come into my heart. Maybe you once followed God, and for whatever reason, you decided to kind of just life drifted away, or you decided, you know what, that's not for me, but you're coming back to God. The coolest thing is, even when we walk away from God, when we come back to Him, His arms are wide open, willing to accept us back, willing to have us back. So if that's you and you're saying yes to Jesus tonight, I want Him to be the Lord and Savior of my life.